Today's scripture reading is from the Common English Bible. It is Luke 10, 38 to 42. All right. Jesus visits Martha and Mary. While Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. By contrast, Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready for their meal. So Martha came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from her." The word of God. Thanks be to God. You know.
Good morning, everyone. Pastor Phil is in Colorado doing other church business, and so he asked that today be United Methodist Women's Sunday, and so the women are leading most of the service with the help from the guys in the back in the AV booth and Steve Sorensen. So thank you for that. I am what I like to call the second string, and so I am a lay speaker in the United Methodist Church, but I'm definitely not a pastor. So Pastor Phil asked me to lead worship today. Can you believe that January has almost come and gone? I don't know where the time goes. Did any of you make any New Year's resolutions for 2023? Anybody? I see a couple nodding heads. How are those going for you so far? Yeah. According to researchers, 38% of U.S. adults make resolutions. 48% of those want to exercise more, eat healthier, and lose weight. Those are the top three resolutions. Maybe you've got different goals for this year. Maybe you'd like to get more organized. I know that I'm kind of disorganized. How many of you have got some sort of day planner? Do you have a day planner? Does anybody have a day planner in here? Am I the only one? Oh, there you go. There's Anne. So here is my day planner. And I know that it's with all the technology we have, this is pretty old school, but I like it. If you look at Amazon, you can find hundreds of different types of day planners and organizational materials for sale, so it must be a really popular item. And they've even got really cool stickers that you can put in your day planner, things that say, "Follow the stars," "Living the dream," "Magic makes every day," "Think it, want it, get it," "You've got this," take care of yourself, "Let's have an adventure," "Be brilliant," "Date night," "Don't forget," oh, "Be kind." Apparently you need to put that on your planner, to be kind. That's something you got to make a note about. So I'd like to show you what my day planner looks like. This is March of 2022. This is, if you can see this, it's a little ridiculous what I have on here. It's a little crazy. I tend to be very, very busy all the time. I seem to be pathologically driven to cram as much as possible into each and every day. I'm not sure what's up with that. I really want to be the hands and feet of Christ. I really do. I want to do it all. Not sure why I think I can do that, but we'll get back to this day planner in a second. Today's story comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's very short, with a very big message. I'll read it again. While Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. By contrast, Martha was preoccupied getting everything ready for the meal. So Martha came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part." As I read this scripture, I can definitely relate with Martha. I don't have a sister, but I can imagine myself buzzing around the house trying to make everything just perfect for Jesus' visit. I'm all about hospitality. For those of you that know me well, you know that I love to throw a party. And if anybody has ever helped me throw a party, you know I'm a little bit persnickety about what you have to do to plan a party. Complete with tent cards. Every party needs tent cards. I'm sure that Martha didn't have that back in Jesus' day, but if I was there, I would have found some parchment, and I would have had something for Judas, you know, all the Matthew, all the, you know, and probably a bigger one for Jesus. I'm all about the tent cards. They're very fun. Cardstock, Office Depot. And if I have an excuse to laminate something, that's even better. I love to laminate. So I'm sure that she wasn't trying to do all that, but she was working very hard to prepare the meal. After all, she had at least 12 people, Jesus' disciples, and Jesus. 13 people showing up for dinner, probably unexpectedly, and she's just, we got to get this taken care of. I would have been furious that my sister was doing nothing to help. And I would have complained like a four-year-old, "Don't you see the unfairness, Jesus? I'm doing all this for you. Tell her to help me." These verses don't mention a temper tantrum, but that's exactly what this was. Listen to the different versions of verse 40. I love going into Bible Gateway and pulling up the different versions of this one verse. Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Martha was worried about all that had to be done. Martha was distracted by all the preparations. Martha was busy with all the work that had to be done. Jesus dismissed Martha's complaints, and he made one point clear. He says, only one thing is necessary, and Mary's doing that one thing. Mary was giving her full attention to Jesus and what he was saying and teaching. Martha, on the other hand, was preoccupied, cumbered, worried, distracted, and busy. She was all that. Does that remind you of anyone in your life? Maybe you, maybe your spouse. My husband would say me. It certainly reminds me of me. I just finished reading a wonderful book that talks about the problem of being so busy. I can honestly say I actually finished reading a book because I tend to, thank you, Olga, I tend to start a lot of books and then I get distracted and don't finish them. And I don't want to give them away because by golly, I'm going to finish that sometime. But I actually finished this book. This book is by John Mark Comer called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I'm going to give it a plug here. I want to let you know that a lot of my message is with all the dog ears and everything in it is based on this book, so I can't take credit on that. But Dallas Willard, a Baptist minister, philosopher, and author, said this: "Hurry is the greatest enemy of spiritual life in our day." Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. We often call our relationship with God a walk with God. You know, how's your walk? How is it with your soul? Nobody ever says, how's your run with God? Nobody ever says that, but that seems to be what a lot of us are doing. It's not a run. Our modern inventions have allowed us to cram a lot more into our days. In 1879, Thomas Edison invented something. Anybody? The light bulb, which made it possible to stay up after sunset. Did you know that prior to that invention, the average person slept 11 hours a day before we had the light bulb, which was such an amazing invention? Now we average 7 hours a day. We can stay up late, we can have our lights on, we can do all these things. And in 2007, something else of technology burst onto the scene. Does anybody know or remember what that might have been in 2007? I'll give you a hint. The iPhone. The iPhone came onto the scene in 2007. Did you know that a recent study found that the average iPhone user touches his phone 2,617 times a day? That's how often people are doing this, is on their phone. Hold on, I'll get it later. We have the world at our fingertips now through our phone, instantly. You want to know anything? Hey, Google. Hey, Siri. It's just very, very convenient. Alexa. Instantly, our attention span is dropping. In 2000, I don't know who did this study. It's in this book. In 2000, our attention span was 12 seconds. But since then, it's dropped to 8 seconds. That's our attention span before we say, I'm bored. By comparison, wait for it, a goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. We're losing to the goldfish. In Aldous Huxley's 1936 book, Brave New World, he wrote of a man's almost infinite appetite for distractions. A Microsoft survey found that 77% of young people said that when there is nothing to occupy their time, the first thing they go for is their phone. That's the first thing they do. Maybe not to call somebody to see how they are, or sit down and read one of the 15 books they started and didn't finish. It's to grab their phone. We live in hurried lives with too many distractions. These distractions are robbing us of the ability to be present with God, present with other people, present to all that is good and beautiful and true in the world. The poet Mary Oliver said, "Attention is the beginning of devotion. Attention leads to awareness." If you think about it, our lives are no more than the sum of what we give our attention to. Let that sink in. Our lives are no more than the sum of what we give our attention to. How we spend our time is how we spend our lives. It is who we become or don't become. So how do we unhurry our lives and eliminate distractions? John Comer lists 4 practical spiritual disciplines in this book. 1 is silence and solitude. Again, my husband would say, I have a difficult time with silence. Take time to be alone in the quiet with yourself and God. You'll notice in the Bible that oftentimes we hear about Jesus going off to be alone. He loved his peeps, he loved his disciples, but he went off to be alone. He went off to be alone all the time. How often do we make time to really just be in silence and just be alone with our thoughts? Not with any music, just alone with our thoughts. I'm really good at being a human doing, but I suck at being a human being, just being. How many of you have the TV on all the time at home? My mom used to do that. She lived alone. She would say, I'm not really watching anything. I just don't like the silence. And you just have it turned on, and it's just kind of background. It's just too quiet. The second practice is Sabbath. Now, Sabbath may feel like just Sunday. It doesn't really matter what day it is. But the word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to stop. That's what it means. Stop. A lot of us have trouble stopping. It is a commandment. There's thou shalt not do this and this and this, but there's a big one. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 24 hours set aside to stop, rest, and experience God. It doesn't mean you need to be in a Zen state for 24 hours. Maybe a walk in nature. Maybe reading a book. What would happen if we turned off our phones and TV at 7 p.m. on Saturday night and didn't turn them back on for 24 hours? I don't know. That would be hard. You know, I think people would say, I didn't hear back from you. I sent you a text. I didn't hear back from you in a nanosecond. Are you okay? The third spiritual discipline is simplicity. In our culture, we are bombarded with messages telling us that we need more and more stuff to make us happy. Our economy is built on consumerism. Get out and spend money. That's what drives our economy. You need this. Society makes us think that our wants are actually our needs. You don't think that's true? Check out the Amazon special day, that's the Black Friday on Amazon and Prime Day, yes. And you go in there and you find all kinds of things you didn't even know you needed because they're trying to get rid of the stuff they didn't sell the rest of the year. But I need this. Didn't know I needed that, but that would be great. Matthew 6:25-34 talks about worry. Worry is a distraction, and we worry about what we worship. Joshua Becker put it this way about minimalism. He believes in being a minimalist. This is what minimalism is: the intentional promotion of the things we value most and the removal of everything that distracts us from them. The goal isn't just to declutter your closet or your garage, but to declutter your life. I could seriously use some decluttering. In the 2004 book, Margin, Dr. Swenson defines margin as the space between our load and our limits. I had never heard the word margin, having margin in your life, until I did the book study, The Good and Beautiful Life, and they talk about having margin. This guy wrote about it almost 20 years ago, that we don't have enough space. The space between our load and our limits. I love this day planner that I have, but even in this day planner, they've got space to fill up the margins. You can add notes. Waiting for a call from the Heart Lung Institute about the appointment. There's the phone number. And my to-do list. It isn't enough that I fill up the squares. They've got margins for me to put more stuff in. And then stickers. Don't forget. I could put more stickers in there. Clearly, I have not created margin in my life. Margin restores what our culture has taken away. Having margin in your life restores what our culture has taken away. Time to listen, strength to care, and space to love. I like that. Space to love. The fourth spiritual discipline that John Mark Comer mentions in his book is slowing. I have two speeds. It's fast and it's asleep. Those are the two speeds I have. I go like a two-year-old and then I drop. The last spiritual discipline in Mark Comer's book is slowing. John Ortberg defined it as cultivating patience by deliberately choosing to place ourselves in positions where we simply have to wait. I'm sorry, what? I'm going to put myself in a position where I have to wait? Oh, no, no. No, no, no. I don't want to wait. Here are some ideas that John Comer suggests. Drive the speed limit. Oh, that's a new one for me. I don't even know what the speed limit is on these roads. I just drive whatever. And it's probably 5 over every time. Then he says, get into the slow lane. Oh, sure. Sure. I'm going to drive in the slow lane behind the person that's driving the speed limit. Come to a full stop at stop signs. Okay. Don't text and drive. I don't do that. Although I might do it at a long stoplight. Show up 10 minutes early for an appointment without your phone, so you can't look at your phone while you're waiting for your appointment. Put your phone to bed before you and let it sleep in. This morning. Boop. First thing in the morning. Keep your phone off until your morning quiet time. You say you don't have any quiet time in the morning. You have time to spend 45 minutes on this before you get out of bed. I know you do. Walk slower. And this one I like. I've talked with Olga about this. Don't multitask. That is not a thing. It ends up making you leave your phone in the fridge and your keys, you know, in the pantry because you stopped there to clean the cat box on the way out. So I find my stuff in the weirdest places because I'm trying to multitask. When we multitask, we can't give attention to what is really important. Finish one thing. I walk around the house, and I find myself in here, and I go, I came in here to just get something, but now I'm cleaning it out. I go into a closet to get something, and then I lost in there for an hour. The lesson from our story about Mary and Martha is what God wants from us most is our attention. We have 66 books in the Bible that have tons of stories. We have 10 commandments. We have all of these stories and these lessons from Jesus telling us what he wants us to do and how to live our lives and how to treat one another, and it comes down to giving God our attention. Because when we take time to give God our attention, then we are connected, and then our relationship grows. The millions of distractions of daily life get in the way of being fully present with God. Hurry is the greatest enemy of our spiritual life. To review, silence and solitude, Sabbath, simplicity, and slowing. My prayer for us all is that we can create more margin in our lives so that we have more time to listen, we have more strength to care, and we have more space to love. Amen.